right home. Leaping down upon the underworld at Mac Ganglin comes
the mysterious, all-powerful character who is a problem to the police, but a crusader for law. In reality, Dan Garrett,
a rookie patrolman, loved by everyone, but suspected by none of being the Blue Beetle. As the Blue Beetle, he hides behind a strange mask and a suit of impenetrable blue chain armor, flexible as silk, but stronger than steel. Today's episode of The Blue Beetle is entitled, Spirits Don't Talk. In every city and small town throughout the country, there are certain individuals who claim to have supernatural powers. Mediums who claim that through them, the dead speak. Only a few have firmly believed in their supernatural power and endeavored to use it for good. Even they have been exploited for dishonest purposes by unscrupulous individuals and groups of individuals. As our story opens, patrolman Dan Garrett, who in secret is really the Blue Beetle, is discussing the fortune-telling racket with his friend and confidant, Dr. Brown.
Tell me, Daddy, why is it the district attorney hasn't done something about this situation?
Well, in the first place, it's hard to get witnesses to testify against these fortune-tellers and mediums. In the second place, what can witnesses testify to?
Why, that they were told that the...
They'd take an ocean voyage or... Meet a blonde man who would be the great love of their life? Can't put anybody in jail for that.
No, I suppose not.
That isn't the part of this racket that causes the police and the district attorney concern.
Well, what does?
Well, you see, when a person starts going to fortune tellers, he or she is a marked man or woman. He or she is registered, as it were, by a great ring.
Registered? Ring?
Yes, everything about the client is noted by the fortune teller. Assistance notes, the wearing apparel, its quality, style... Where purchased and so on. Traits of character are studied, weighed, and measured. Clients are urged to talk about themselves. If possible, names and addresses are secured. All this information goes into a central bureau to be tabulated and cross-indexed for future reference.
Well, bless my soul. I had no idea such an elaborate system existed.
Sure, there's a regular ring that controls the racket. But what about spiritualism and mediums?
Are these so-called mediums part of this racket?
Most of them. They constitute the most dangerous part of the racket.
Well, how do you mean?
Well, when they get hold of a client, some susceptible individual who believes it's possible to talk to the loved ones who've died, they work on that individual's mind, influence that individual to commit acts he or she would never think of committing if left alone.
What's the connection between fortune tellers and mediums?
The fortune tellers pick out easy marks. And if considered worthwhile material to work on, they're inveigled into visiting a spiritualist or urged to sit in on a seance.
My. People are so gullible.
Yes, they are. They have to be protected from themselves.
Somebody's in the store. I'll be back in a minute.
Probably Mike Manigan. If it is, send him back.
Hello, Doc. Is Danny the daredevil dude patrolling the street?
Yes, Danny's back in the laboratory.
He's probably cooking up a witch's brew of some sort.
You mind if I go in?
Oh, no. Go right back, Officer Manigan.
Hello, Mike.
Hello, Danny. Are you ready to visit the mediums?
Ready and waiting. Hey, you look very smart in your civvies.
Yeah, they think your advice is good. They'll never suspect we're cops in these clothes.
I don't know about that. My wind-blown barb and your red face. You don't look like bookkeepers.
So where are you two boys going?
To a seance.
You mean seance, Doctor?
Yeah, we're going to talk with the dead.
Who's the medium?
Well, he calls himself Professor Windrip.
Where's the seance being held?
Windrip's house out on Elm Street. You know that old place that sits back from the street?
Yes, I know it. People used to say it was haunted. That's the place.
Well, come on, Patrolman Garrett. Pardon me, Mr. Garrett.
You go ahead, Mike. I want to ask Doc something. I'll be with you in a minute.
Okay, I'll wait out front for you.
Say, Doc. Can I borrow your X-ray camera with a special infrared lens?
Why, certainly, Danny. I'll get it for you.
Now, what can I carry it in?
Over here. It is quite flat.
Here. Put it in your briefcase.
Oh, thanks, Doc.
I'll see you later.
If the spirits don't get me.
City, an interesting discussion is being held. Banker James Henley is talking with his son John and his nephew William.
I want you, John, and you, William, to accompany me to the seance, Professor Windrip. May he be able to communicate with my dead son, Rodney.
Oh, Dad, it's all a fake. This spiritualism and medium and such stuff. I don't believe Professor Windrip or anybody else can communicate with the dead.
Well, I do. You only have to take one look at the professor to know that he's unusual. He has that faraway expression that psychic people have.
Oh, nonsense.
William is right, John. Professor Windrip is gifted beyond most mortals. I'm sure he will be able to communicate with my elder son who was killed in Spain. Perhaps Rodney will be able to advise me in my financial affairs. He was always so right about things. I'm getting old and I need his advice.
Yes, and I'm sure his advice will still be good, Uncle James.
Yes, William. I'm glad you have the right attitude toward these things.
Well, let's get started to the seance. The sooner we get there, the sooner it will be over. Who's going to be out at Windrip's place, Daddy?
Not sure. Charlie Storm and his son told me that Banker Henley's a frequenter of Windrip's seances.
How are we going to get in there?
Charlie got me two cards from a girlfriend of his, who's a hostess in one of those gypsy tea rooms.
Do you think they'll suspect us?
I don't know, but let me do the talking. You just keep still and look psychic.
And how does a guy look when he looks psychic?
Just stare straight at everything and everybody. Just as if you were looking through them at the immortal spheres.
That's the way I look when I've been hit on the head.
Well, I'll sock you one before we go in, if that'll help.
Yeah, never mind. I can look psychic without your help.
Okay. That's the house ahead.
Yeah, it's a pleasant-looking spot for a murder. Are you healed?
No, I didn't bring a gun.
Well, I did. And if any ghost or departed spirit that's gay with me, I'm going to use it.
Now, here we are. Come on, Mike, and remember to look psychic.
Okay, Daddy.
Good evening. Are you expected?
We have cards.
Very good. Will you come in, please? The seance is about to begin.
Thank you.
Who are these gentlemen, Gerke?
They have cards, sir.
Are you Professor Windrip?
Yes, I am.
This is Mr. Michael P. Manigan, and I'm Mr. Van Norden Garrett. We were recommended to you by the Gypsy Tea Room. My friend here is psychic.
Oh? I see. Well, come in, gentlemen. They're right in here. This is Mr. James Henley, the banker. His son, John, and his nephew, William. Mr. Manigan and Mr. Garrett.
Pleased to meet you.
Now, will you all take seats, please? You and Mr. Manigan sit here, Mr. Garrett.
Thank you.
We sit in a circle and hold hands. Mr. Henley, you sit here on my left, between Mr. Garrett and me. John, you sit on my right. And William, you sit next to your cousin John, between him and Mr. Manigan.
Right.
There we are. This is a lot of poppycock.
John, be quiet. If you don't want to sit in, leave the room.
Oh, all right, Father. I'll keep quiet.
I'm afraid your son is not in a receptive mood, Mr. Henley.
No, he'll be all right, Professor. He's young, that's all.
Yes. Now, we'll each take the hand of the persons on either side of us. And I'll put the lights out with this switch in the floor at my feet. Quiet, everybody. Relax. Banish thoughts of this mundane world. And let your minds wander out into the infinite. What was that sound?
My teeth chattering.
Father! Is that you, Rodney, my son?
Yes, Father. Your son who was killed in Spain.
Speak to me. Rodney, are you well?
I cannot rest. A heavy burden lies on my soul.
What is the burden on your soul, Rodney?
My brother John does not love you. Only William loves you.
That's a lie. William is a crook. This seance is...
Lights. Switch on those lights.
What happened here?
John, what's wrong?
We're 9 feet. What happened here?
Oh, look, my son John, there on the floor.
Stand back, everybody. Mannequin, cover those exits.
He's dead, all right. Stabbed in the back.
Wait a minute. What is this? Who are you to give orders in my house?
Patrolman Van Garrett. My psychic friend is Officer Mannequin.
And if anybody attempts to leave this room, this gun of mine will speak. And it won't be a psychic message either. Go ahead, brother Danny. This is a case of murder.
Back at the little apothecary shop of Dr. Franz, Dan Garrett and Dr. Franz are examining two photographs which have just been developed.
Now, Doc, this is the first one I snapped with the X-ray camera. It shows the interior of the room where the seance was held.
What's that dark spot there on the wall?
Where? It looks like a loudspeaker behind a large painting.
That's probably where the voice came from that old man Henley thought was the voice of his dead son, Rodney.
Yeah, he was the old man's favorite son. He volunteered to fight in Spain and was killed in battle.
Let's see the other photograph.
All right. I took this one just as John said. This is a lie. It shows the group seated in a circle.
Look there.
It's a murderer. His hand is clutching a dagger raised to strike.
It even shows the cotton he wrapped around the hilt to avoid leaving fingerprints.
This photograph alone will convict the murderer of John Henley.
Are you going to phone police headquarters to hold him?
No. If they hold him, we may not be able to run the higher-ups in the racket there.
Oh, then you think the murderer of John Henley was not the top man?
Oh, no. He was just part of the ring. The brains of the racket are higher up.
But they should have realized that John Henley's death would bring down the police on their necks.
Somebody made a miscue there. I don't think the ring planned John's death.
What do you think their plan was?
Simply to use the dead son Rodney's fake voice to work on the old man and influence him to let his nephew William advise him. And in time, persuade him to make William his heir.
But why?
William is probably being used by this gang of racketeers. The old man should die, leaving his vast fortune to William. Then William would be blackmailed into coming across with a large sum of money to the racketeers.
What devilish things evil minds can think up.
Yes. Oh, by the way, Doc, put those negatives in a safe place.
They'll be safe with me, Danny.
All right. Well, the Blue Beetle is going into action on this gang of crooked buzzards. Well,
what are you going to do?
The Blue Beetle is paying several visits tonight. Before another day dawns, the spiritualist racket will be smashed.
The murderer of John Henley. What will the Blue Beetle discover at Professor Windrip's residence? Whose warped mind is behind all these fiendish schemes to prey upon honest but superstitious and ignorant persons? Off through the night speeds the Blue Beetle in his crusade against crime. Another part of the city, a man is issuing orders to his subordinates. A dark, sinister-looking man whose tight-lipped smile has no mirth in it. His business is creating spirits of those who have departed.
Joe, that last batch of cloth you bought me was certainly cheap. My old nightshirt makes better ectoplasm than that junk.
Yeah, but you see, boss...
Never mind the alibi. Trade it in and get something thinner.
Park.
Yes, sir.
Still recording famous voices off the air?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Be my secretary and get a list of the 400 best families.
Yes, sir.
Call them one at a time. See if you can sell them the idea of having each voice in the family recorded as a memento for their relatives after they pass on. Make copies of each. We can use them in our seance.
I'll do it right away, sir.
Good. And as you go out, tell Sweeney and maintenance to order 24 more loudspeaker sets through my radio stores. 50 dozen crystal balls and 75 cases of playing cards.
Right away, sir.
Take your sense to me, Chief.
Yes. Now, look, my apple-cheeked little trigger man. Professor Windrip phoned me that he has reason to suspect that some photographs were taken at his seance tonight by Patrolman Dan Garrett. The negatives may still be in his possession, or they may be in the possession of Dr. Franz that runs that little apothecary shop. I want those photographs.
Okay, Chief, I'll get them.
If you meet with resistance, let your conscience be your guide.
I got you, Chief. My trigger finger's awful nervous tonight. It must be the weather.
The professor, Colonel G.
Show him in.
Oh, hello, LG. This is certainly a terrible state of affairs.
When did the cops release you?
Just now. Someone bailed us all out, and I came right to you.
I'll bet you left a trail a mile wide.
No. I changed trains 3 times in the subway. Walked through Ralph's department store and then took a taxi here.
Good.
Well, what do you advise me to do? My business is ruined.
Your business? You should have thought of that before you killed John Henley.
I killed him. You mean William?
I mean you. William wouldn't have the nerve.
But William hated his cousin. He was sitting right next to him.
And so were you.
What makes you think so?
A little bird told me. I've got spies down at police headquarters. They heard the questioning of your people by the police.
Oh.
Yes. Oh. They said you were playing up to old man Henley.
Well,
I'll say. You aren't figuring on trying to double-cross me on this, are you?
Why, no, LG, I assure you.
You'd better not if you know what's good for you.
And what about those two policemen, Mannigan and Garrett?
They'll be taken care of. When the case comes up for trial, they won't be there to testify.
Yes, but the photographs. I'm sure I heard the click of a camera during the seance.
The room was dark, wasn't it?
Pitch black.
Okay. You don't have to worry. I'll leave everything to me.
What do you think I'd better do now?
Go out to your place and play dumb. I'll be out there later, as soon as I've had a talk with William Henley. He'll probably spend a few days on his uncle's yacht. In the meantime, I've got my men guarding everybody concerned. I imagine the Blue Beetle will stick his nose into this. And if he does, it'll be just too bad for Mr. Blue Beetle. I don't think you killed your cousin John.
I didn't. I swear I didn't.
Well, okay. Now, you just take it easy. Lay up to your uncle, and you'll be the white-haired boy. He always believed anything his son Rodney told him.
But this murder, what about that?
We're going to let Professor Windrip take the rap. He's all washed up with us.
I see.
Later, you will introduce your uncle to another medium. We'll go to work on him again, in your favor. You'll be his heir.
Yes, but he may live a long time, and I need money now. My creditors are hounding me, and I can't wait.
Now, take it. Take it easy. Just as soon as he makes a will in your favor, he'll meet with an accident.
You mean?
He'll be talking with his dead son, Rodney, direct.
Very clever scheme, but it won't work.
The Blue Beetle.
Yes, the Blue Beetle, and he's going to nip.
Shall I let him have it, LG?
Go ahead, shoot. Your bullets can't injure the Blue Beetle.
But this belaying pin will. Good work, Gus. Good work. You throw a mean belaying pin. Sounds like a light.
What'll I do with him?
Tie him up. Weight his body with an anchor and toss him overboard.
Okay, LG. Well, Mr. Blue Beetle, you're gone for a night swim. And you ain't coming back.
Say, aren't you a bit ruthless, LG?
In my racket, you have to be. Now, you be a good boy, and we'll all be rich.
Well, what are you going to do now?
I'm going ashore. Professor Windrip is going to have a caller and get a big surprise.
All right, Gherkin. I'm going to get some sleep. This has been a very trying evening.
Yes, sir. Very good, sir.
Did you dismantle and hide the phonograph equipment and records?
Yes, sir. Everything's been taken care of. Will you be sleeping late in the morning, sir?
Yes, Gherkin. Call me about noon.
Very good, sir.
Good heavens. Who can that be at this time of night?
Well, I'll see, sir. It may be Mr. LG, as you call him. Good evening, sir. The master's just retiring.
Well, he'll see me.
there you are.
Oh, yes. What have you found out, LT?
The Blue Beetle paid a visit to Henley's yacht while I was talking with William Henley.
Well, how did you get rid of him?
He's bathing in the Sound with a 50-pound anchor tied to his feet.
Great heavens.
Yes, he was in the way. Just as you're in my way, Professor Winthrop.
What do you mean?
You're all through, Professor. You almost cleared our racket. I can't wait for the law to take its course. Besides, you might spill the beans.
Oh, no.
I'm taking no chances. I'm going to close your mouth right...
Drop that gun, LG, or I'll blast you with my magic ray.
The Blue Beetle.
Yes, the Blue Beetle.
You must be a strong swimmer, Blue Beetle.
I am, and I learned a few tricks from Houdini. Otherwise, I'd be lying at the bottom of the Sound.
Get him, Gherkin. Get him from behind.
Oh, no, you don't. Not this time, Gherkin. The Blue Beetle's on the alert. And here's one for you, Professor Winthrop. Murderers. Now I'll take that gun, LG.
Certainly, Blue Beetle. Here it is, right under... Oh. Just a little jujitsu. Now I've got the gun.
What are you going to do? You've got nothing on me.
Oh, no? I swam back to the yacht after I freed myself from the anchor rope and had a little talk with William. Was he surprised to see me?
He's going to talk and talk plenty.
He can't prove who killed John Henley.
But the photographs Dan Garrett took at the seance can.
What do you know about those photographs?
The Blue Beetle knows everything.
Now listen, Blue Beetle. Those photographs will never be shown at any trial. Pudgy has seen to that.
What do you mean?
Pudgy's my trigger man. I sent him to interview Dan Garrett's friend, Dr. Franz, the chemist. If the photographs are there, he'll get them or else.
Open the door and I'll break it in.
Well, Mr. LG, the law's caught up with you. Your racket's smashed and you'll burn along with Professor Winds.
Not yet, I won't. I'll see the tear with his voice.
No, you don't. The law's going to send you and the murderous Professor Winthrop where you can't cause any more harm.
All right, now, all right. Reach for the tail.
Well, if it ain't the Blue Beetle, Professor Winthrop and the Limey Servant. What a haul. And who's this?
That's LG, the ringleader of the gang. He just tried to take poison and I hit him. Here, Manigan, catch this gun.
What? Well, okay, Blue Beetle.
Sorry to leave so suddenly.
Hey, wait a minute, Blue Beetle. You're under arrest. Hanged if the Blue Beetle didn't dive out of the window. Well, boys, slip the handcuffs on these babies and we'll take them along. I'll catch the Blue Beetle the next time.
Turned over to the police several racketeers. But what about Doc Franz and the photograph? What has happened to them? Has Pudgy carried out the orders of his chief, the infamous LG? Let's hurry back to the little apothecary shop of Dr. Franz.
Doc Franz, where are you?
Hello, Danny. Well, what's your hurry?
Oh, are you all right?
Never felt better in my life.
But the gunman... Did Pudgy...
Rosy-cheeked, rather confident gentleman called earlier tonight. I was in my laboratory at the time.
Yeah, well, what happened?
He mentioned something about some photographs. He was rather insistent that I give them to him.
Well, did he...
Yes. He pointed a gun at me.
What did you do?
Squirted a syringe full of concentrated ammonia in his eyes.
Good. Where is he now?
I tied him up to keep him from playing with my chemicals in there.
Oh, that's great. And the photographs are safe?
Everything's under control.
Ah, fine. Those photographs will convict Professor Winthrop of young Henley's murder. And Williams' testimony will take care of LG.
What does LG stand for, Danny?
According to Williams, LG stands for Live Ghost. The man behind the spirit. Well, if you'll excuse me, Doc, I'm going to turn in. The Blue Beetle's had a very busy night.
Loose threads were tied together, and another racket smashed thanks to Dan Garrett, Mike Manigan, Dr. Franz, and the Blue Beetle. What new adventure awaits the Blue Beetle? This question will be answered in the next episode of the Blue Beetle. Now, here's the Blue Beetle himself to say a few words.
The moral of this story is that there's no honor among thieves. In other words, never become associated with anyone in any endeavor or plan that is not absolutely straightforward. If you do, you can expect to be double-crossed or become the cat's paw or the fall guy. Remember to always look up, never down, and to associate only with those persons you can respect.
The Blue Beetle is a copyrighted Fox feature appearing in Mystery Men Comics magazine and the Blue Beetle magazine. Blue Beetle is on the air twice a week on this same station. Consult the broadcast schedule in your local newspapers. Don't forget to listen in to The Blue Beetle.